with the help of God, to God's honor and to God's glory, let us read from the Old Testament, from the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Book of Jonah, chapter 1. Knjiga o Joni, prva glava. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found the ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let us all now kneel before our Heavenly Father and give him thanks. Before we look into this book of Jonah that we read, just a few words about the first song that we sang this morning hour, about being at home with God. It is good to be at home. After a long journey in this world, the time comes for everyone to leave this place and to go home. Those of us that have been converted, that are serving God, faithful to God, we know where our home is, that heavenly mansion which God has prepared for us. Those that do not serve God will not go to that home, that heavenly home. And there is yet time until you close your eyes to this world. There is time to change, to repent, to call upon the name of God. So that when you do go, we will all go. So you can go to the beautiful home above that has been prepared for all of us if we serve God. So the book of Jonah, when we read this book, not just this chapter, but the whole book, perhaps the first thing that comes to our mind is this book is about the man or prophet that was swallowed by the great fish. You ask little children, who is Jonah? It's the first thing they will say. It's a man or a prophet. He was swallowed by this big, great whale fish. He was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And that is part of the story. But there is so much more to this book. The book of Jonah speaks about obedience, disobedience. Speaks about repentance. Speaks about anger. Speaks about God's compassion, God's love, mercy, and grace. So he speaks about a lot of things. And Jonah was the only prophet that disobeyed God. He was asked to go to preach to the city of Nineveh, which was capital city in Assyria. They were not Israelites. Most of the prophets, or pretty much all the prophets that were sent by God, the 16 prophets that bear their name in the Old Testament, they all went to the people of Israel or Judah to preach to them as they were disobedient and sinned. Jonah was sent to people that were not of Israel or Judah, Assyrians. Very evil, brutal nation. So perhaps the first thing that came to his mind maybe was, that is dangerous for me to go to that city to preach to them, against them. But he says, as the word of the Lord came to Jonah, he says, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness, they were very wicked, is come up before me. So Jonah arose. And as brother mentioned in the prayer, and it's written in the word of God, he did arise, he got up to go, but he went the wrong direction on purpose. God says, go here. He goes the other way, far, far away, running away from God. Not so much running away from God, running away from God's commandment, which is the same thing. You're running away. You're being disobedient. He lived... Jonah lived close to Nazareth, just a little bit north of it, a few miles. In the 2 Kings, I believe, also speaks about Jonah. If I can find it quickly. Second Kings chapter 14, verse 25. This is the only other place except the New Testament that speaks about Jonah. This chapter speaks about Jeroboam the second, who was also evil king. In verse 25, it says, he restored the coast of Israel, this is Jeroboam the second, from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Heper. That was the city where Jonah was from. Anyway, so he was sent to go to Nineveh. This is the prophecy, only prophecy that wasn't quite fulfilled. When God spoke to prophets that he will destroy cities or destroy people for their sin, it came to pass. This prophecy where God says, yet in 40 days, the Nineveh will be torn down. Did it happen? This is God telling Jonah that this is what will come to pass, that they will be destroyed, the whole city. It did not come to pass. Why? Well, we can read where when Jonah was sent the second time. Let me just find it very fast. In the chapter 4, last chapter, Jonah said, I knew that thou art gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great compassion, and repentest thee of the evil. That's the reason it wasn't destroyed, because God had compassion on them and mercy. And because, most of all, because they repented. Even though 2 centuries later, that city was completely destroyed, but not at this time. So Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, and he paid the fare, and he is going away. He knows better. Being disobedient to God, God tells him to do something, and he decides to do completely opposite. He is not speaking to God and asking him or reasoning with him. He just simply disobeys and runs away. Like he can hide. You cannot hide. We cannot hide from God, from God's presence. Doesn't matter where we go, he will find us. His hand is not short that he cannot reach. So he runs away. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. So now the mariners, or people that worked on the ship, they were very afraid. It must have been a lot greater wind than they had seen. And they realized that there was a reason why it was such a great tempest in the sea. So they said, let every man cry unto his God. The shipmaster probably did not know who believed in which God. We know that there was only one true and living God, but those people that were on the ship, perhaps they believed in some idols, gods that were not real gods. But for them was, you need to pray to any God, whoever you believe unto. And they were throwing the heavy things out so the ship would be lighter, it would float more, instead of being deep in the water, so they would lighten it. But Jonah was not afraid for some reason. He went down to the ship and he was sleeping. I'm not really sure how can someone sleep when the boat is in danger to fall apart, but he was able to sleep. So the shipmaster went down and he said, how can you sleep? Arise, call upon your God. He did not know who Jonah believed in, who was his God. But he figured, pray to your God. Maybe your God will hear us and so that we would not perish. When you're in trouble, you think of every which way you can to get out of the trouble. Pray to any God. At least that's what the shipmaster said. And then the shipmaster said, let us cast lots. They knew there was a reason why this came upon them. Perhaps they knew the weather should have been calm that day, so this was a big surprise for them. Why was this great, the wind that came and the mighty tempest in the sea? So they cast the lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. So they had faith that if they would cast lots, that it would be God's will. I'm sure that they knew the real, true God, the living God. So they cast the lots and see where it would fall, and it fell on Jonah. And they believed that it was his, that he was the one that caused all this. So they ask him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is your occupation? Which country are you from? Who are you? Tell us about yourself. How can you be sleeping down there when we are all trying different things so that we would not perish?" So he says, I'm in Hebrew. "I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land," the only God. And he said that they were exceedingly afraid. So they must have believed in the true and living God. He fears the God, and yet this evil has come upon them. What happened? So he says that he's running away from God. He's being disobedient. He admitted. He knew what he was doing. So they said, "What can we do so that the sea would be calm?" And he knew that if he was thrown overboard, that the sea would be calm. So that's what he told them. But the men were not evil men. They were not like, "Okay, we'll throw you over the board and we will be fine." They still tried. They said they rowed hard to bring it to the land. They tried everything other than throwing him. They knew that if he goes overboard, he's dead, he's done. And they were merciful too. They didn't want to kill a man just because all this evil has come upon them because of Jonah. So they tried everything else. They said they could not. Nothing worked. So they did not want to lose all the people, the whole crew. So they threw him overboard. And what happened? The sea was calm. That's exactly what Jonah said. And they actually even prayed. Now they're praying to, they're not saying now pray to any of your gods. Now they are praying to this true living God. He says, "O Lord," with the capital L, Lord, the real God, "we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. Let us not be guilty," because they're pretty much killing him in a way. They're throwing him overboard. And that wasn't their idea of saving their lives, but that was the only way they were able to stay alive, all of them. And I'm not sure how many people were in that ship. So they asked God not to lay upon us the innocent blood, "for thou, O Lord, has done as it pleased thee." So they realized it was God's will. So they did that. So they cast him into sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. And he said, the man now feared the Lord, the only true living God, exceedingly, and offered the sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows, made promises that they will serve the living God. There's only one now. And then last verse of this chapter speaks about how God prepared a great fish. That was his will. Now, there are many people that would say, well, this is just a parable. It cannot be possible that someone can be in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights and survive. It's unheard of. Is there anything impossible to God? The God that created the heaven and earth, the sea and the land and the big fish and the small fish and all the animals, is there anything impossible? No. And even Jesus said, this wicked and adulterous nation seeketh after a sign, and there will be no sign given unto them other than the sign of Jonah, who was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. So that was the sign. So if Jesus says that Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, that's what it means. It's not a parable. It's not just a story. It's a real thing. To God, everything is possible. So Jonah being in there realized that he has done wrong. I'm sure he realized that from the very beginning, but he still was disobedient, prideful. So he prays now. Now he's in trouble. Before that, he was sleeping, being relaxed. He didn't care if the people would perish. Now he's praying because now he's in trouble. He's in the belly of the fish. How long can you survive there? He should have been thankful that he didn't just drown, as people thought that he would. So he's praying from the belly of the fish, and he's seeking God and realizing the state he's in. So God gives him a second chance, because God is merciful and loving and gracious. So the second time, the word of the Lord again comes up to Jonah. The second time, tells him the same thing. God does not change. If he told him the first time, go to Nineveh and tell him. And God did not say, repent or else this city will be destroyed. He just said, he had 40 days and this city will be destroyed. There was no unless. There was no unless. This is God's saying, God's promise. So again, Jonah arose, just like the first time. But this time, he knew better than to disobey God and run away from him. Second time, he would not be in the belly of the fish for 3 days. He would probably be gone completely. So he comes in. It says it was a great city. Nineveh was, as I mentioned earlier, a capital of Assyria. So he went according to the word of the Lord, and it says it was 3 days' journey. It was a very big city. So he tells him, yet 40 days. God gave them 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown, completely destroyed. And it doesn't say that he said anything else to them. He did not, maybe, I'm not sure. He did not say repent or else. He just said he will be overthrown. This is the prophecy. This is what God told him. So the people believed God, believed what he said. It's not that they believed Jonah, they believed God. Because these were the words of the Lord. They proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And then even the word came up to the king, the great king of Assyria. And what did he do? He arose from his throne. He says he laid his robe away from him. Now he's humbling himself. He's not a king anymore for this time being. He puts on sackcloth and he sat in ashes. That's the lowest way perhaps to repent, to show the humbleness. So all the people, he says even the animals, not to eat or drink anything. That's a true, true repentance. When you completely stop sinning and turn to God and you humble yourself the lowest possible to the ground. Set in ashes and covered with sackcloth. That's the lowest form of humbleness. And also in chapter 3, it said that he caused to be proclaimed and published throughout the whole city by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let even the man and the beast, everyone, be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily. Not just have a short little prayer and see if God will be merciful. Completely crying mightily to God. And it says, let them turn everyone from his evil way. They were pretty much all evil. Must have been, because they all sinned. There was nobody that was that's good. Especially the Gentiles that were not even God's people. And yet God even had mercy upon them. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. So there was a lot of violence there too. He said, and then the king says, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? They weren't 100% sure that God will not destroy them, but they said perhaps. It's the belief, the hope, the prayer that they had. But if they would not repent, they had no choice. They had no chance. But here comes chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah. God's prophet, someone that knew God, believed in God, served God, should be happy and joyful because God had mercy. Well, God had mercy on him. He says that the whale, the fish. The Lord spake to the fish, and he spit out Jonah from the belly of the fish. God spake to the fish. So now, he was happy that he was able to come back out from the fish and be on the solid, dry land. But God had mercy on these people, 120,000 people. It displeased Jonah. He says he was very angry, not just disappointed, very angry. He was just, could not handle it. And he says to God, he's now reasoning with God, and he prayed unto the Lord. Instead of thanking God for being so kind and merciful and for the people that listened to his words that he proclaimed to them, he says, Lord, or he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, Lord, was not this my saying? Didn't I say when I was yet in the country, in my country? That's the reason I ran away from you. I knew that thou art gracious, compassionate, full of pity and mercy and grace, and repentance of the evil to be done unto the nation. I knew you were good and great God. That's why I disobeyed thee. I knew you will be merciful to them, so I ran away. Why even deal with it? You won't do what you said you will do. He was angry at that. He was disappointed. So therefore now, O Lord, I beseech thee, so I beg of you, take my life from me. It's better for me to die than to live. Can you imagine the thoughts or the state of this man at that time? He's saying, it's better for me to die than to see your love and compassion to these people. The Lord being so kind and patient and loving, he's not angry with Jonah. He says, doest thou well to be angry? Is it good for you to be this mad and angry and disappointed? And later on in this same chapter number 4, when God asked him again, he said, doest thou well to be angry with the gourd? And he says, yes. Do well to be angry. Yes, it's good for me to be mad and upset and angry, even unto death. He rather die than see the people repent. I'm not sure why he was like that, what was in his mind or his heart. He was the prophet of God. And he did much good, and as we see reading in the 2 Kings chapter 14. God calls him his servant, Jonah. So he's asking God, take my life away. I'd rather die than see these people live, which was completely wrong. How do we look at people when they repent, when we know they're evil, they sin, and someone turns to God? Are we happy? Are we joyful? Or are we upset and angry because they turn to God? I hope and pray that we're all happy when we see someone, and I'm sure that we are. We're all happy when someone turns to God. There's a great joy in the presence of God and the angels over one that repenteth. But this man was angry. So he goes up to the hill, and he's still hoping. He's still hoping that God will change his mind and destroy the city. So he sets up on the hill to watch the city to see if it will be destroyed. So in his mind, he's got a little hope, the wrong hope. He's hoping that God will destroy the city, destroy the people, not just the city, but people and the beasts, everyone, completely. Just like, as we know the story, New Testament, with Jesus walking with James and John, and when they were walking to Samaria, and they didn't let him go through, and James and John said, well, thou will we ask God to send the fire and destroy these people. Completely consume them. Get rid of them. We'll show them who has the power. So here's Jonah, same thing. He wanted to see great destruction. So he's sitting there. He made himself a booth. He knew he was going to be there for a little while, looking down at the city to see what would become of that city. And now God He says he prepared a gourd, which is like a plant, must have been big leaves that grew fast, or God made it to grow fast, and it made it to come up over Jonah so that he would be in the shadow, in the shade, over his head, because he was, very hot. So now Jonah is very happy that this plant grew, became a big plant, and gave him some shade. We all know when it's very hot outside, we sit in the shade, it's pleasant. It feels great. It's cooling. So he was all happy. Now he's rejoicing. Not because of God's grace and mercy, but because of this plant that gives him shade. A little thing. He's very happy. But then the next day, he says, God prepared a worm when the morning arose, and he smote the gourd that he withered, just completely dried up. Now, Jonah again. And the wind, the east wind, the hot wind came, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished, again he's wishing to die. He had enough. He just wants to die. And God again, being full of mercy, and speaks to Jonah again. He says, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd, for this plant that he did not do anything? He did not plant it. He did not water it. He did not make it grow. He did not do anything to it. And yet he's upset because now it dried up. He doesn't have shade. He's very selfish. We hear many times about being selfish. It's a sin to be selfish, just to worry about and care about ourselves, not anyone else. Well, this man, Jonah, cared about himself. It was all about how he feels. He wants to feel good. It's whatever he wanted, his will, not God's will. And he says, I do well to be angry, even unto death. And then, as we know, the last two verses where God tells him, he said, you had pity on the gourd which thou did not labor. And yet, it says, should not I spare this city, this great city, Nineveh, wherein are more than 120,000 people that cannot discern between their right hand or their left hand, and also much cattle. Should I not have mercy upon all these people when you were so saddened and angry because of this one plant that you didn't do anything to it? So we see, and I believe we can all learn from this, not to be angry, not to be disobedient to God, not to wish any evil upon anyone, even if someone's done wrong. It's easy to, when someone does something wrong, you want revenge. That's human nature. We want revenge. We want to show them that we have God on our side, that we are stronger, like James and John. Not to be angry, not to be disobedient, but to have compassion and mercy and love and pray for one another at all times, that God would be merciful on all of those that did not receive God yet as their personal and loving and great Savior and Redeemer. May God bless His holy word, and hope and pray that we will continue to be in His service, and that we would please Him, that we would be obedient to Him, that we would serve Him faithfully and love Him, and that we would inherit that everlasting life. And may to God be all the honor, glory, now and forevermore. Amen.
You know, I know we often think of this story as a story of the fish, but really this is the heart of a man. It's the heart of a man. The problem is Jonah, not a fish. It's his heart. It's his unwillingness to yield to the calling of a merciful God who desires to save His creation, His people who are all people. And the love that He was to show as He spoke of judgment on the city, Jonah couldn't bear because he hated that people, because they were the enemy of Israel. He couldn't take it, like we heard. And yet we see the Lord who we see His delight and mercy, and Jonah sees that and he prays that. I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. He showed that to him too. He showed that to him too, who had gone completely against his will in an absolute different direction than what he had asked him to go to. And he still showed him mercy and compassion. He was slow to anger. and repentest of that which he had desired to do to that city, Nineveh, which he could have done to Jonah, which he could have done to any one of us at any time when we went against his will. Dear ones, we have a God who loves us, who loves us so much that he gave his son for us. Let's not dwell outside of his will. Let's not walk in ways that aren't pleasing to him and think that we can still escape the long, tender mercies of our Lord. We think that we can hide or depart from him as Jonah thought, that within 40 days he'll be long gone. City will be destroyed. God had a different idea. And I marvel, I never picked up this verse till we read it this time, how that those that in the boat were actually feared the Lord exceedingly. They turned to the living God. They feared the Lord exceedingly. They offered sacrifices unto the Lord, and they made vows unto our Lord. Those who did not know him saw the power that is in him, and they turned to him. Dear ones, we claim we know him. We claim we know him, do we? Do we know him as this powerful one who is bringing judgment, but one who delights to give us mercy instead? So let us take the lesson of Jonah to heart and look into our own hearts and lives. I'd like to just close with a reading of the hymn that really is it's one of praise. It's a prayer. It's a benediction. It's everything. The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us always, amen.